once I had gotten the clarity of what I wanted to do, which came out of those 2 years of my journey, after that, I found just constantly keeping your eyes and ears open to the ecosystem is the support and the advice that I think I benefited from. But I would deeply endorse that anybody looking to get into the philanthropy space needs to have, you know, advisors and consultants to clarify their thinking and their way of doing it. Otherwise, my sense is it goes all over the place.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, professionals, and philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. Unusual Suspect streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, and moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. Welcome to the fourth season of Catalyzing Change, The Power of Philanthropy, in collaboration with GivingPie, India's first family-focused philanthropy network. Here's an interesting piece of statistic. Dasra's research on philanthropy highlights that Indian families are an integral part of the Indian economy, contributing approximately 40% to private philanthropy. They contribute through personal giving and CSR initiatives by family-owned and run businesses. As wealth increases and transitions across generations, Indian families are reshaping the philanthropic landscape through investments in bold ideas, funding newer focus areas, and taking a more intentional, system-focused approach to giving. Over the last seasons, three such seasons, we have spotlighted how philanthropists are stepping up in often overlooked spaces. These include from mental health and gender equity to animal welfare and also the arts. In this season, which is the fourth season, we look to the future. Through conversations with philanthropists and change makers, we will explore emerging trends, fresh approaches, and what they signal for the evolving future of Indian philanthropy. This episode explores how family philanthropy is strengthening India's giving infrastructure through investments in data platforms, advisory services, peer networks, research, and learning spaces. While less visible than direct programmatic funding, these behind-the-scenes efforts are vital to building long-term capacity, resilience, and systemic impact in the social sector. Joining us is Tara Singh Bachani, Managing Director of Antara Senior Care, India's first organization offering integrated solutions for senior living. She also serves as the Managing Trustee of the Max India Foundation, where she brings a deep commitment to philanthropy. Tara is also a founder circle member of GivingPie, India's first family-focused philanthropy network. Welcome, Tara. Delighted to have you with us for this show.
Thank you for having me, Gaurav. Pleasure to be here.
You know, Tara, let's begin with a foundational question for the benefit of our listeners and, of course, my own benefit too. Let's begin with your personal journey in philanthropy. When did you first start engaging with this space? Was there a specific incident or was there a trigger that, you know, got you into this space? And how have your values and approach been shaped by your family's influence over the years?
Sure. So, you know, it's been a very interesting journey for me. I've obviously, like a lot of Indian families, observed previous generations give in very different ways. And past generations, as we've probably seen, mostly in India, have done their own versions of seva, as we call it. And so as a value system, it's something that I think sat with me through my growing up years. The Max India Foundation actually was the first organized vehicle of my families to start giving. And that was a pure CSR foundation that we came into inception about 18 years ago now. And all of the businesses of the Max Group would give their CSR funds to Max India Foundation. And we were actually a foundation that worked in the healthcare space. We operated a lot of projects in the healthcare world because that was our primary business as a group at that point. in 2019, as we exited as a Max Group, the healthcare ecosystem, when we sold Max Healthcare, it was also a time, actually just fortuitously, that I got involved in understanding philanthropy and looking at the landscape of giving, and really deep-dived into what is the concept of organized giving in India. And actually, Dasra was one of my partners at that point to really induct me into that world. And it was exactly at that time, because we were exiting the healthcare ecosystem, that it was for us to rethink what Max India Foundation wanted to do. And I jumped in, and I call it my weekend job, but I jumped in to say, okay, let's repivot the foundation to actually become a grant-giving organization. And because of my personal passion in the education sector, we completely pivoted the charter to say, let it be a grant-giving organization in foundational literacy and numeracy, and let it also be the vehicle for all personal philanthropy of the family, so that there is one governance structure that looks at giving in the most systematic and impactful way we can. And that's actually how my journey became a big part of my life, was through that pivot of the Max India Foundation in 2019.
You know, Tara, it's interesting because, and many thanks for setting us this, giving us this context of your journey and how it all began. And you've been actively involved in philanthropy for several years now. But my question is a little different. You know, philanthropy in India can get a little complex. I would not say complicated, but it's a slightly complex ecosystem. So it requires a lot of planning and also support and guidance to navigate this through the system. What kind of support or guidance have you found most helpful along the way?
So, you know, interestingly, in that time period of 2019, I actually just met Dasra by chance. I wasn't looking to understand and learn philanthropy. It was only when the conversation started that my eyes opened to what the space of giving looks like I mentioned earlier. And the deeper I started studying the space, the more I realized, exactly to your point, that there is a significant amount of guidance, advice, and structure you need to actually have that impact. And so for me, in the first 2 years, the support that I got, that I found incredibly beneficial, was from the ecosystem itself. It was from Dasra, it was from Central Square Foundation, it was from, you know, Teach for India, for example, which is an organization I am on the board of and I support. And I actually used those first 2 years to just study giving and philanthropy and the ways to do that. Once the fundamentals were clear that, look, there are multiple ways to do it, whether you want to do it just as CSR, just as personal giving, choosing a sector and an ecosystem that you want to support, and whether you want to be a grant giving organization or individual versus an operating organization or individual, I found the various voices of advisors, like the Dasras of the world, as well as organizations actually doing groundwork, and exposure to them incredibly beneficial in the first 2 years. Once I had gotten the clarity of what I wanted to do, which came out of those 2 years of my journey, after that, I found just constantly keeping your eyes and ears open to the ecosystem is the support and the advice that I think I benefited from. But I would deeply endorse that anybody looking to get into the philanthropy space needs to have, you know, advisors and consultants to clarify their thinking and their way of doing it. Otherwise, my sense is it goes all over the place.
You know, Tara, you are also a member of Giving Pi's Founders Circle. What actually was the primary inspiration or the principal inspiration for you to invest in a network like this? Does it bring in a lot of network effect and also, you know, the impact of the foundation and the program actually comes into play through a multiplier effect of the network? In your view, what role can networks like Giving Pi play in shaping the future of family philanthropy in India? Because here we're bringing in the power of network rather than just an individual families.
Yes, you know, I think the genesis of it and my reason for wanting to be a part of it and helping found it was actually first and foremost to bring awareness. I had found personally over my journey up until we launched Giving Pie that when I would sit across the table and have conversations with both young and experienced philanthropy, there was a significant amount of ignorance that existed in those dialogues because people still looked at this as a very disorganized sort of space. People looked at NPOs or the not-for-profits with a level of mistrust. People felt that they wanted to dabble in multiple things all at once rather than pick a lane and deeply impact that space. And of course, there was this feeling of, I'm doing this alone. And I don't have the level of information that I need to make some of the decisions that can influence the points I just made. So first and foremost, the intention came from wanting to create an ecosystem where knowledge and a sense of awareness was going to get deeper. And being a young, I mean, young in the sense of my journey, not necessarily age, but because when Giving Pie came into inception, it had been 3-4 years only into my philanthropy and giving ecosystem, I really felt that if philanthropy gets embedded in people at a younger age or an earlier stage of their life, the deeper the meaning could be for themselves as individuals, as well as the impact in the ecosystem. So the reasons for this were first and foremost just to bring awareness that, you know, philanthropy is very powerful, it's very potent, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. The second reason, as the network started to get built, was for the reasons you mentioned, is that the minute you found others like yourself asking questions, getting answers to them, getting clarity from those engagement, then we started seeing the multiplier effect start to kick in. And the third reason was because the truth is that if you look at the statistics that you mentioned at the start of the podcast, that while CSR is a huge corpus in India, personal philanthropy is growing in terms of the desire to want to deploy it. And because it exists at such an individual level, organizations didn't have access to personal philanthropy in a structured manner. And so networks like this also in a way help match supply and demand when it comes for fundraising for not-for-profits, as well as matching it to people wanting to do personal philanthropy. So these were the three reasons, Gaurav, that one felt it was important to create this network.
You make a very interesting point when you, in the course of this response, you mentioned that at some point in time, people also continue to look at, not-for-profits with a degree of suspicion, or there is some degree of skepticism still associated with it. What has been your experience, and has your association with Giving Pie's founder circle actually demolished any such misgivings that you may have had, Tara?
Absolutely. You know, when we started Max India Foundation, at that point, like I mentioned, I was not very involved, but the intuitive approach at that point was, let's do everything ourselves. Let's create a large team. We wanted to be in healthcare. Let's go and operate it ourselves. So, you know, the foundation was 30, 40 people, people doing work at the ground level, people doing work at the administration office level, and of course, at the strategic level. And at that point, because of a lot of the lack of information of the kind of other organizations doing the work, as well as the mistrust sometimes around it, there was no concept of partnerships or saying, look, maybe we would be best suited to getting the outcomes we want in the healthcare space through partners whose lives depend on doing this work. And I really believe focus creates impact. And so if running a foundation or doing that grass level, last mile work is not the primary focus of your life, then it is far more impactful to have partners to execute it for you, with you supporting financially and strategically. So when actually 2019 came about for us, and one realized through the knowledge one had created through partners, like I mentioned, that there are organizations that are doing such phenomenal groundwork with the highest levels of governance, it was sort of like a veil had been lifted off at least my eyes of saying all of this mistrust in this ecosystem is actually fairly unfounded, and that the impact we would make would actually be multifold if we were to be able to work with partners. Because the truth is, I have a full-time job running my company and all of the other personal commitments. And while I find giving incredibly powerful and potent, I knew that at this current life stage, it can't be all that I focus on. So I think when you start realizing the power of the organizations that already exist in India and the quality of the work that they do, I think the multiplier effect is far deeper than wanting to constantly reinvent the wheel yourself, Gaurav.
Tara, why do you think it's important for more funders, particularly families, to invest in strengthening the giving ecosystem?
You know, the fundamental fact is any nation building that has been powerful over decades has happened in partnership with governments, with the development sector, as well as the private sector. I mean, that's just the way societies and economies have evolved. And we have seen that in the private sector, that the impact of this trifecta coming together is really incredibly potent. And that should therefore apply to the development sector and the social sector. It is impossible for a government and a government alone to solve all the lackings of any society and economy. Number one. Number two, India is growing in terms of its wealth, that I think there is a philosophical, spiritual, intellectual responsibility we have as a society to be able to give and unlock impact in that sense. And three, given that India is where it is in its trajectory of shifting from, you know, third world to first world, I think this collaboration could be incredibly potent, where family philanthropy, as well as the learnings families have from building businesses, of governance, of execution, if transferred into the social sector, can be incredibly valuable, Gaurav. And I think that's why it is important, especially for a country like India, where statistics still show that there is a huge amount of need that has to shift when it comes to education, when it comes to employment, when it comes to gender, when it comes to climate, when it comes to air, that it can only happen if the collective of all of the different demographies and interest groups come together, Gaurav.
And finally, Tara, you know, let's look into the crystal ball a bit. Let's also gaze into the future. How do you think families can be more intentional in strengthening the giving ecosystem and support India's Viksit Bharat Vision 2047, because that's a milestone and that's a kind of a goal that we have set for ourselves in the march towards being a developed country. I think there is some kind of contribution, significant contribution, that will also have to come from the families. So what are some of the concrete steps families can take to build a more collaborative and effective ecosystem of giving, which aligns with the Viksit Bharat Vision for 2047?
I think three things. I think to begin with, families need to decide a single point person in their ecosystem who is responsible for this. I think trying to make giving also overly democratic within your families create confusion, because at the end of the day, giving comes from the heart and it comes from a person's deep-rooted desire to make impact. And everybody will want to make impact differently. So first and foremost, I think families should decide who is going to be that person within their ecosystem who's going to take the calls around giving. I mean, obviously, it's assuming that the base has been set or the foundation has been set that they want to give. So assuming that that base has been set because of all the reasons we have said and people's deep-rooted desire to make impact, I think first and foremost, create a structure within your own family ecosystem to find who is going to lead this, just as the same way you would find a founder or a chairperson for your company. Two is give that person the autonomy to decide. Because if that person feels a deep-rooted love for the environment or for animals or for, like I said, education, gender, then that's the course that they should travel. Because if you don't feel a deep connect with the cause that you're giving to, the impact is always going to be mediocre. Once that step has been crossed of saying this is who is going to do it within the family and this is the space that they're going to do it with, they must partner with the ecosystem, whether it's advisors or networks like the Giving Pie, AIP, Dasra, etc., or it is you know, finding an organization that they believe in and just making that organization the conduit to what they want to do. And then lastly is, I think networks like the Giving Pie need to expose funders to this trifecta collaboration we mentioned. I think a lot of people don't understand that there is a lot of unlock value in working with the government. And I think that has to become a very fundamental part of making 2047's vision come into life. And that can only happen through exposure and education.
Thank you so much, Tara. Thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspective and taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.